Welcome to all who have no church home, need strength, have doubts, or do not believe. Welcome to visitors and to old friends. Welcome to grandparents, to mothers, fathers, and single people. Welcome to people of all colors, cultures, abilities, and sexual orientations. To old and young, to questioning believers, and all who believe and all who question. May we all find peace and uplift in our worship together. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us online or on site, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life at the church and in the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have lovingly staffed nursery care and the playground down front. For the next 5 weeks, our worship is intergenerational, which means we welcome movement and noise and the presence of all ages. I have to say, though, usually intergenerational worship, when I'm leading it, will be less than an hour, but I have failed at that today, so everybody just do whatever you need to do to cope. It's the first Sunday of the month, which means we are celebrating communion together. Folks at home, you're invited to get a bit of food and drink in person. We are having gluten-free bread with grape juice and wine. Folks in person are invited to come forward to receive the elements or raise your hand to be served in your seat. This ritual of remembrance is open to all. Participate in whatever way is comfortable and meaningful for you. Now, on Sundays where we share communion, we also take a special offering for the Communion Fund. All donations to the fund are used to help community members in need. There are special envelopes on some of the chairs in person that are marked in this way, and any contributions put in an envelope, one of those special envelopes, or otherwise labeled for Communion Fund will be used fully for that purpose. And as always, this offering is completely optional. Just a few more announcements. Are you still with me?
Yes.
All right, Pup Theology is usually the first Sunday of the month, but this month it's gonna, no. Look how closely you're paying attention. Pup Theology is usually the first Wednesday of the month, but in August it's going to be the second Wednesday of the month, which is August 14th. I will be gone this week, seriously, for reals this time, but I am still your contact for pastoral emergencies. The flowers on our altar table this morning are a gift from the Plymouth Church of Framingham, from the congregation and their ONA team. We have two folks from that congregation with us this morning. This is just one of the beautiful signs of support that we have received in the last week, and it means so much to us. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit. Deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Today, the light sets before us a feast of love in abundance with room enough for all. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning, I'm Gail.
Good morning.
Please join me in the call to worship, and your response is, "Come as you are." Come, brothers and sisters and siblings.
Come as you are.
Bring your blessings and your burdens.
Come as you are.
God is here all around us.
Come as you are.
Come, let's worship together.
Come as you are. Amen.
Amen. Our opening hymn is You Are the Salt of the Earth, and this is only available on the handout or on the screen. It is not in the hymnal. You are invited to rise in body or spirit. Our centering prayer begins with just a little bit of silence. And in the quiet, I invite you to put your hands over your heart, feel your heartbeat. This is a rhythm connecting you to all living things. Feel your breath in and out. The Spirit of God that created the world. In the quiet, hear God whispering to you over and over. You are beautiful and beloved, just as you are. Let us pray. Living God, breathe your love into us. Give us vision to see each other the way that you do, as glimpses of the divine. Help us to set down the baggage of fear and judgment so that our hands are free to reach toward each other. Surround us with your strength and peace and ground us in your presence. Draw us around your wide table of welcome where there is always room enough for more. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, our faith tells us that each of us is made in the image of God. And look at all of these beautiful images of God, both here in this room and online. Let us share God's peace with each other this morning and take a minute to look into each other's eyes and see the spark of God within. Folks at home, if there isn't anyone with you, go and find a mirror. You will gaze into it and you will see the image of God. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
may be seated. So as many of you are aware, last weekend FCC Natick was targeted by people who take issue with our conviction that LGBTQIA+ people are fully beloved by God just as they are. We are actually one of at least five churches so targeted on the same night. Not all the churches are sharing details publicly, and we respect that decision, but we understand all five received the same letter. A letter that made it clear that we weren't being targeted by generically prejudiced people, but by specifically Christian prejudiced people. People who have somehow decided that the best way to follow, that they can follow Jesus, is to ignore everything he says about caring for those who've been pushed to the margins and focus on sexual orientation and gender expression, something Jesus never talked about at all. So there were no Jesus quotes in this long letter. Well, there were almost no Jesus quotes in this long letter. It quoted a third of a verse from Matthew that had nothing to do with sexuality, but was just in there to warn me that I was going to hell. The verse that the third came from was very interesting, but kind of insider baseball, so I won't bore you with it now, but if you want to hear that sermon, I'll tell you later. Anyway, there were quotes from elsewhere in the Bible, particularly verses from Leviticus. Leviticus is the third book in the Bible. Genesis, say it with me, Exodus, Leviticus. Look, you know the books of the Bible, good job. Leviticus is in the Hebrew scriptures and it captures a whole bunch of instructions that God gave Moses to pass along to the Israelites. So God gives to Moses, gives to the Israelites. Now at this point in the story of the Bible, the Israelites had escaped slavery in Egypt. Remember? Let my people go. Okay. Can we edit that out later? All right. So the Israelites were working their way through the wilderness, heading to the promised land, but they were going the long way around. Now, because they were in slavery for so long, the Israelites were feeling a little lost, pun intended, about how to set up a community. They did not want to recreate Egypt, which had been a place of oppression, and they didn't want to just adopt the practices of the folks in Canaan, which is where they were heading. So God was acting as a consultant, helping them get stuff figured out that would help the Israelites function and maintain their identity as a unique community. So I think of Leviticus as like the first bylaws. Lame? Yeah. They set out the criteria needed to create a whole and healthy community in that place and time. And it was from these ancient bylaws that our new pen pals drew inspiration. But they had a lot to choose from. Scholars say there are 251 laws in Leviticus. So you might be wondering which laws were featured in the letter.
Was it Leviticus 19? Verse 9 and 10, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the foreigner.
Well, that's a good guess. Leviticus says any crop cannot be fully harvested. Some of the yield must be left behind so that those who are poor and migrants can go and get themselves some food. And we do have a little garden in the side yard. But no, the letter writers were not worried that we were going to pick all the tomatoes for ourselves. And nobody seems to ever quote Bible verses at factory farms that harvest to the very edges of their fields.
Speaking of fields, how about Leviticus 19:19? You shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed, nor shall you put on a garment made of two different materials.
So that one's a favorite. Not only is there a law against hybrid crops, you cannot wear clothing made of two different materials. Your cotton wool blend sweater is going to get you sent straight to hell. But no, that is not what they focused on either.
Okay, well, what about Leviticus 19:13? You shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning.
So that's an interesting one. As Randall knows, modern payroll practices today totally go against that law. But no, that wasn't in the letter. The letters left at five churches also didn't focus on the verses about cutting the hair at your temples, getting a tattoo, working on a Saturday, or remaining seated when an elder enters the room. And they definitely didn't focus on verse 33 in chapter 19.
When a foreigner resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the foreigner. The foreigner who resides with you shall be to you as a citizen among you. You shall love the foreigner as yourself, for you were foreigners in the land of Egypt.
With so many fun and fascinating verses to focus on, the letter writers focused on Leviticus 18 and one in Leviticus 20, both saying a man shouldn't lie with another man. But there was no explanation in the letter as to why we must follow those ancient laws while we can close our borders to those running for their lives and wear polyester blend while doing so. Maybe their Bibles got water damaged or something and so were hard for them to read. Because most puzzling of all, it seems like they skipped right over the verse almost exactly in the middle of the ones they chose to quote.
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord your God.
That one didn't make it in the letter at all. Amen.
Amen.
Just gonna switch out mics because this one's a little easier. Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a where'd they go? Okay. Well, children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. Listen, super important message here, okay? Sometimes people in the world do mean things. Sometimes they say things that hurt. Sometimes they act in ways that aren't fair, aren't kind, and aren't right. But here's the thing. You are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Say that. I am a beautiful and beloved child of God. Once more. I am a beautiful and beloved child of God. And nothing can ever change that. Not what somebody thinks, not what somebody says, not what somebody does. You are a beautiful and beloved child of God, just as you are. So is everybody in this room. Kids, can you tell the older kids in this room? You are a beautiful and beloved child of God. I heard them say that. And so is everybody in the nursery. Let's all tell the people in the nursery. You are a beautiful and beloved child of God. And so is everybody at home. Let's tell them too. They can see on the camera. You are a beautiful and beloved child of God. What about everybody who's in Mass down at the Catholic Church right now? Are they beautiful and beloved children of God? Well, let's tell them. You are a beautiful and beloved child of God. How about everybody at Hebrew school at Temple Israel? Are they beautiful and beloved children of God?
Yes.
Well, let's tell them, but I don't know geographically where that is. Somebody point me. Okay, you're pointing in different directions. You are beautiful and beloved child of God. How about everybody hanging out at Sweetwaters reading the paper right now? Are they beautiful and beloved children of God? Well, let's tell them. You are beautiful and beloved child of God. Now, here's a tough one. How about the people who took our flags down last weekend?
Yes.
Are they beautiful and beloved children of God?
Yes.
I think they are, but I think they forgot. Or maybe they never knew. Maybe nobody ever told them. I'm wondering if we can tell them. Maybe not all of us. Some of us might not be ready to say that yet, and that's okay. But maybe some of us can. Just loud enough to to get the message to the hearts of those people who desperately need it. I don't know where they are, so we're just going to have to call it out into the world. If you're comfortable, we're going to call out, you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Are you ready? You are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Amen. We received so much support from Natick and beyond this past week, from elected officials, residents, area organizations. And one of those organizations is the Natick Freedom Team. How many folks know about the Natick Freedom Team? I only learned about it a few weeks ago. Okay, so a lot of us are in the same boat. The Natick Freedom Team is a coalition with the mission of preserving freedom through unity in the community. Don Greenstein, one of the leaders of the Freedom Team, is here with us this morning. He's been part of the Freedom Team since 2020 and brings so much experience to this work. He's the Brandeis University Ombuds Director and refers to himself as a reformed attorney. His work involved conflict, assessment, facilitation, and mediation. His passion is empowering people and entities with ongoing and long-term relationships to be self-empowered in working through differences. He has a few thoughts to share with us this morning. Don.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to see you all. So a number of years ago, a colleague of mine whose name is Jamil Adams, does anybody here know Jamil? Okay. So Jamil actually gave me some thoughts in history, because Jamil actually was the founder, and he lived here in Natick, and he was the dean of students at Brandeis. And when he moved from Natick to Franklin, he asked me if I would step in and get involved, because he wanted to keep the Natick Freedom Team alive, and he needed somebody who lived in the community to be engaged with it. The one thing I just want to share at the beginning, and then I'll read his remarks and give some of the history of it, is that the Freedom Team in the Natick community is a welcoming community. We welcome all people. There may be people here who disagree and don't see that differences are welcomed, but if you look around this room and look around on your own camera or in your own home, there's not one of us that is identical. We each bring something special to this world. We each add value. And that's what the Freedom Team is here for, is to listen and to help people recognize differences and recognize that each one of us has some value to bring. And when conflict and differences arise, we can work through those. And the Natick Team, Freedom Team, has been here to help the community and to help individuals communicate, listen, and learn from each other. We've had disagreements that happened at Stop and Shop. We've had disagreements that happened with neighbors in a neighborhood where one person felt devalued by others. And we're just here to help people work through those differences. There's a hotline that is started. It's been run through the police station so the police could evaluate whether the situation is one that needs to be handled by the police or it's something that the Freedom Team can handle. So this team started with about 12 people on it. There was the superintendent of schools, our police chief was involved, a few ministers were involved, there was a lawyer involved, and I don't see anybody here. There's nobody from the Freedom Team in Natick here or from any other Freedom Team. Am I correct in that? Yeah. So here's Jamil's remarks, briefly. And this team started in 2015, so I joined 5 years after it started. The purpose of the Freedom Team is to preserve freedom through unity in the community. Jamil had hoped to be here, and he's fighting COVID. He shared that when we allow it and are moving with love, the Freedom Team is them, and they are the Freedom Team. We see me in each other. We love how we love, who we love. Love is not weak, nor is it always happy or easy. But when authentic and genuine, it is always right. Born out of trying to figure out how Baltimore would put back together regarding the civil unrest that resulted from the murder of Freddie Gray, and thinking how might we respond if something similar were to happen here in Natick, these thoughts led to the creation by Jamil of the 10-point communal engagement model, which involves representation from any given community to preserve its sense of togetherness, particularly in times of hardship or duress. Natick was the first, followed by 8 more, and today there are 9 and soon to be 10 Freedom Teams in Massachusetts, and 3 more are being developed in Vermont presently. Due to the love of people and the leadership of individuals such as myself, Jamil says, and Kathy Dinsmore, a woman who's involved with the Freedom Team in Hopkinton, there's now what we call a Freedom Team Network, which once a month we get together either by Zoom or in person, all the Freedom Teams, and talk through what we're doing and support one another. Our Freedom Team comes from the need to keep communities centered on community and aligned with the urgency and energy of freedom as based on love, inclusion, and trust. And he says, we and love. Can we all say we and love?
We and love.
When we allow it and are moving with love, the Freedom Team is us, and we are the Freedom Team. We see the me in each other. We love how we love, who we love. Love is not weak, nor is it always happy or easy. But when authentic and genuine, it's always right. And I'll tell you where the teams are, just so you know. And anyone can reach out. And we have offered to do what's called the listening circle for this church and anyone in the community. When people have emotion around a traumatic event, such as what happened here this past week, if people talk through it and even let the anger, the emotions out, we don't hold it so it becomes traumatic stress long term. And our goal as a community is to support people. And what we do is we offer 2 individuals who can facilitate a circle, and we ask 3 or 4 questions, and we pass a talking stick around with the idea that people can share their emotions. It's not crosstalk, no one reacts to anyone else, but it allows people to share their emotions. So the teams that exist now are here in Natick, in Waltham, Wellesley, Hopkinton, Franklin, Scituate, Walpole, Whitman, and Wrentham is in development, and then 3 teams in Vermont, which I'm unsure where they are. And I'm around. If there are any questions, you're welcome to ask. I'm here to support you. And we're so sad that this happened in Natick, but our sense is it will make a stronger community as we're here to support each one of you. Thank you.
More to come about circle opportunities. I'd like you to picture someone you love. On site and online, if you're willing, I invite you to close your eyes if you're comfortable. Breathe deeply and picture someone you love. Okay, when you're ready, open your eyes. On site, online, you can also raise your hand. On site, how many of you pictured one of your kids? How many of you pictured a parent? Lincoln did not picture a parent. That's not a good sign. How many of you pictured Pedro Pascal? Your spouse? We got some spouses. Your mentor? Your best friend? How many of you pictured yourself? I got two. I'm glad to see I have two. But there's just two. I wonder why. I wonder why when we think about who we love, we don't put ourselves very high on that list. Maybe it's trained out of us. Only narcissists think about how much they love themselves. Or maybe we just really don't give much attention to offering ourselves love. In many cases, I think we're much more likely to offer ourselves judgment, impatience, and internal snark. This might be the problem with the key law from Leviticus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It implies we love ourselves in the first place. It's a line we toss off all the time. It's part of what we call in the Christian tradition the Great Commandment. Jesus combines that line from Leviticus with another line from Deuteronomy and tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. Then at church, we spend a whole lot of time talking about what it means to love your neighbor. Be compassionate and kind, practice forgiveness, let go of judgment, feed the hungry, shelter the unhoused, work for justice and equity. All these sacred texts call us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves and seem to assume we have a good handle on what it means to love ourselves. I think maybe the text didn't realize what a low bar that is. Maybe people who keep hurting their neighbors are just treating others the way they treat themselves. Maybe people who want to kick their neighbors out of the country have told themselves they'll never belong. Maybe people who are condemning their neighbors to hell feel like they themselves are irreparably broken. Maybe people who are accusing others of succeeding because of their color or gender are secretly convinced that they don't deserve anything they've gotten. Maybe people who are sure they know what God thinks are aching to feel the presence of God in their lives. Maybe people who have decided who it is okay for you to love are in desperate need of being loved themselves. But enough about people. What about us? Beloved, are you following God's command to love yourself? To see yourself as a divine spark made in the image of God. To believe with all your being that you are holy and whole just as you are. To feel yourself as part of the beloved community, the web of life, the love of God. Now let's be clear, loving ourselves doesn't mean anything goes. Doesn't mean doing whatever we want and refusing to take responsibility for our actions or staying stuck in bad habits or behaviors. That's not loving yourself, that's enabling. But if we don't practice loving ourselves, I don't think we have much of a shot of loving our neighbors. Amen. So my friends, let's try that again. Let's picture someone we love. And this time, let's have that person be ourselves. I invite you to close your eyes, breathe deeply, and picture yourself. Maybe the way you look today. Maybe your most adorable photo from when you were four. Maybe what you look like on your very worst day. And once more, say to that precious gift that is you, you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Amen. It's the tradition of this church to celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month. And so folks at home, if you haven't already done so, I invite you to get a bit of food and drink. Folks in person, you will be invited to come forward to receive cup and bread. Take both back to your seat that we might all eat and drink together. You may also raise your hand to be served directly in your seat. And again, you are also free just to participate in whatever way has meaning for you. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? You're lucky I have two. Okay. John!
Yesterday afternoon, Jeff is not in his condo, but yesterday afternoon, we moved a couch.
We, step by step, we are so excited for Jeff as he thoughtfully transitions into his new condo. And we are so grateful that yesterday large pieces of furniture were moved. There's already a TV there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so there's a couch and a TV, and I think he's in good shape. But we continue to hold him and you in our prayers in this time of transition. Thanks, John. Sarah Lynn. Sarah Lynn is lifting up everything about Thursday night when we gathered together to declare that love is louder with help from so many, including everybody who took a strip of fabric, wrote an intention or a prayer on it, and wove it into this recreation of the progress flag. Huge thanks to everyone who was able to be there and all the support we have felt. Lane, do you have any joys? I have two more. Pam W. isn't here today. She and Ulrika are celebrating their 29th anniversary today. So that is a huge joy that we celebrate with them. We've also been praying for Ulrika's brother, Peter Axel, who has had a very serious surgery. And he continues to recover from that surgery and actually was home in time for his birthday. So we celebrate that. Did I miss any joys? Yeah.
So much joy watching the Olympics. It's been such an incredible, the stories behind these athletes and the things that they've overcome to get where they are, and just the diversity of the pool, the pommel horse guy from Worcester.
Right? Yeah. Janet is lifting up the joy of watching the Olympics, and especially the stories that break through there that are such little sources of inspiration these days. Thanks, Janet. Declan. Declan gives us such a good example every day of praying for the things that are on our hearts, especially where we're grieving, where we're mourning, right? That we continue to mourn the animals that we have lost that aren't there for us anymore, and people that we love who live far away. Those are some of the most important prayers we pray. So thank you, Declan.
You're welcome.
What concerns do you bring to this place today? I have a couple of those too. Lane, do you have any? You have two?
Depression?
I don't have that. I'm just going to do one at a time, sorry, because I have a low attention span. So prayers, it feels like Gretchen and her family have just had a lot of like family and friends that are sick and dying. So first of all, prayers for Gretchen and Rick as they are like sort of mourning and dealing with all this, but prayers for their friend Eileen and Eileen's family. Rick's dad?
Yeah.
Oh, Rick's, so prayers for Rick in particular as his dad is in hospice. We know the amazing work that hospice can do, and so we hope that that team is surrounding Rick in love. Thanks, Lane. Pam, again, who can't be here today, asked for prayers for Helga. This is the mother of Pam's friend, Angelica. Her health is declining rapidly. Pam just saw her when she was back in Germany. We've already talked a little bit about the other congregations that were targeted last weekend and all the ways in which they're being impacted by it in different ways. So we hold them in prayer and particularly grateful for the Norwood Church who was able to be here, and they're praying for us this morning and we're praying for them, and that's just really precious. And for the spirit of Raheem Jefferson, this is the man in Philadelphia who was shot outside the mosque on his way to prayer. We pray for his people, for his family, we pray for that community, and we pray for our Muslim siblings who are once again feeling isolated, scared, and under attack. Did I miss anything? Beloved, there are too many places in our world where the price of admission is more than we can afford. Did I miss one? Beth, I'm so sorry. I'm going to try to let Beth's beautiful concern not turn into a sermon for me. So if you see it starting to turn into a sermon, raise your hand. Yeah, do give me one of those. Because of the changes that our state is making regarding the shelter system, more and more families every day are sleeping on the streets. Beth is lifting up particularly some families in the Quincy area where young children and their parents are sleeping on the streets with no place to go. The hope, we've got communities that are, you know, churches and religious communities locally that are starting to do work. We're hoping that we can participate in some of that as well, if nothing else, just witness of what is happening. But it is distressing, and it's only going to get worse. So may God be with us as well as with the people on the street. Because there are too many places in our world where the price of admission is more than we can afford, where we are asked to leave pieces of ourselves at the door, where we are told there's no room for someone like us. At this communion table, there's always room. Yes, we will squeeze you in right over there. Take a seat, pull up a stool or your wheelchair, settle on a cushion square or in a folding chair, draw up close on your laptop. This is a table that's not just a table. It's a sign of God's love here on earth, an affirmation of your sacred worth. This is a table that would not be the same, would be incomplete without you. We remember the night in the upper room, Jesus at a table crowded with disciples. He knew their pasts, the places that had formed them. He knew their future, the pain and sorrow to come. He knew their mistakes and saw the places deep within that they tried to keep hidden. And still he offered them the cup of blessing and the bread of life, reminders that they are loved, always loved. Will you join me in blessing this bread and cup? Raise those blessing hands. We give thanks to you, living God, for drawing us close, for feeding our bodies, for nurturing our spirits, for loving us exactly as we are. We carry with us memories of rejection and loneliness, shame and self-loathing, guilt and fear. And so we give thanks that at your table we embody a different message. We are enough. We are worthy. We are beloved. We feast together with gratitude, hungry to build a world where every body is honored, where every bruised and broken spirit is healed, where everyone is invited to receive the message of unconditional love. Come, Holy Spirit, come, and transform these ordinary things into sacred gifts. Prepare our bodies to be fed. Prepare our hearts to receive a love stronger than fear, a life stronger than death. Prepare us to live with compassion and justice in the way of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The table is ready. This is a meal of joy, so we sing as we feed each other. The words are on the slide in just a minute or are easy enough to pick up as we go. Come to be fed. Come to be known. Come to be filled with God's love. Amen. With extra thanks to Mark. Mark, were you served communion or did everybody ignore you? Sharing the bread, reminder of God's presence, we become the hands and feet of God.
Let us eat together.
Sharing the cup, a sign of God's love, we are strengthened in our relationship with God. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for our hands. Stronger now to touch, reach, hold, serve. Thank you, God, for our eyes. Clearly focused now to see deep needs and gifts in all our brothers and sisters and siblings. Thank you, God, for our tongues. Free now to speak your praise in love and joy. Thank you, God, for our ears. Tuned now to the cries in our world for bread and justice. Thank you, God, for our feet, running now with you. Amen. In the last month, we had several opportunities to help our neighbors with the Communion Fund. A woman in her late 60s, still working full-time, was laid off from her job, and while searching for a new one, she got behind in her payments for her auto loan and her car insurance. If she lost her car or its insurance, how would she get to job interviews? Never mind a new job. A family of four, including two school-age kids, became homeless earlier this summer. Sometimes they stayed in hotels, sometimes they stayed in the car, and things were looking up when the dad found a new job. But he'd gotten behind on car payments, and it was repossessed, so he lost the job, as well as their sometimes housing. We were able to put the family up in a hotel for a few nights and give them resources and guidance for next steps. We covered the woman's insurance payment and part of a car payment, so she has a few more weeks without that worry. And on Thursday, she got a good job offer, so things are looking up. The Communion Fund isn't a magic wand that repairs someone's problems, never mind heals the world. The money is a small bandage that is often taking care of half of one problem in a sea of problems. But it isn't just about the money. It's about the connection, the conversation, the caring. Being able to say to someone not only, I am sorry that's happening to you, but also, yep, we can help. That is possible only because of your generosity. Not just the generosity of your donations to the Communion Fund, those make a big difference, but also your contributions to the operating budget of this church. Your pledges and offerings mean there's someone to answer the phone and write the check and spend the time with the person in need. This morning, as we pass the offering plate from one person to another, we all have something to put in the plate. Maybe it's a contribution to the operating budget or the Communion Fund, but just as important, it might be a prayer for the people who need the help of the fund, who are going through one of the hardest times in their lives. When the plate comes your way today, may you hold it with intention. Maybe just send a prayer of hope for the family in the hotel. Folks at home, you don't need to have an offering plate handed to you to join in as well. Your prayers reach that family from wherever you are. Let's join together in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering. God of abundance, bless these gifts, and especially the people who will be helped by our love. Amen. Our closing hymn is In the Midst of New Dimensions, which is familiar, and it is in our hymnal, but we've got different verses that we're singing today, so the hymnal won't help you. Sorry. Beloved, all hands together to hold the wounded, all hands together to make the bread, all hands together to work for freedom, all hands together to change the world. Go in peace. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.